Blog Talk Radio.
This is Forbes and Myers, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Brandon Buddy on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is Kristen Alderson, and I am on Stardish Radio, the coolest radio station ever.
Hi, this is David Fumero, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Melissa Fumero on Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for listening to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is September 15th, and I am your host, Joanne. The call-in number is 347-945-5423. Please call in and participate with my fabulous guest. Make sure you download and rate the show when we're done. Tomorrow on the calendar for September 16th, we will have Brittany Underwood, a.k.a. Langston Wild from One Life to Live, and Wednesday, actress Robin Sidney from the Jonas Brothers 3D movie will be joining me as well. So let's get down to it. Tonight we have a special guest. She played Jessica Buchanan for more than 13 years on One Life to Live. And since her departure, she's moved on to bigger and better things, sensational music career. And her CD, Part of the Plan, is out and fabulous. Please welcome Erin Torpy.
Hello. That was a beautiful introduction. Thank you.
Oh, so well deserved. Thank you.
Thank you. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I'm wonderful. What about you?
Oh, everything is wonderful, too. That's very nice.
Well,
that's good.
I really appreciate you coming on the show. I had the opportunity to listen to some of your songs today, and I was just completely blown away.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I've watched One Life to Live for quite some time, and I've got about 11 years on you. So I kind of watched you grow up
on
the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I was really blown away at your voice. You've grown into such a beautiful young woman with such a gorgeous voice, and I seriously commend you on it, and I don't understand why you're not on every radio station there is.
Oh, you are so sweet. Thank you so much. It all takes time, right?
Oh, gosh, I know, but it's just when you listen to it, it's like, well, like, what's the reason that it's not on? I mean, can you really give me one? Because there's just, to me, there's none. So,
did you hear it on iTunes or on?
I was listening to your website.
Okay.
And I listened to some stuff on MySpace, and I listened to some stuff on an interview you did with Planet Music.
Right. Okay.
So I was listening
into
that. Which is
similar to your show. That was a while ago, too. But
yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was quite a while ago. But when I Googled your name, I said, so let me hear what the... Because I try to listen to other interviews to try not to double up on the questions, because it's got to be mundane to keep answering the same stupid questions over and over and over and over again. So I really try hard not to ask those same questions. She played the music, you know, and it was just really, really fantastic. And I actually cut it short so I can get over here early enough. But yeah, it was really good. And I am actually going to buy the CD. So yeah, fabulous. We have a lot of people in the chat room waiting to talk to you and people on the phone.
I was nervous that nobody was going to call. I told my friend,
are you kidding me?
I said, you have to stand by the computer, and if no one calls, you got to call in.
Oh, no, don't be silly. There is people here. Don't be ridiculous. No. Let's see. Let's just touch a little bit on the acting. You started so young. I mean, how did you get into the acting thing at the age of pretty much five, right?
Yes, it was when I was really young, about five. I always sang. Singing is how I got into acting.
Right.
So I was singing in a retirement home because I just would sing around the house all day long. And my mom was like, how can we get this little girl to get her, you know, I guess you call it yayas, right? Like,
right.
Get her energy out somewhere else and maybe help
right.
people. So I sang in retirement homes, and there was a manager there that was visiting her mom. And she was from New York, and she said, this little girl has to come in. So I started doing – I'd go into New York, and I would do jingles for doll commercials. And then one thing, you know, led to another. And then the first really job which I acted was on Broadway. you know, like commercials and stuff were first and jingles, but then Broadway was my first like acting, singing thing. And then from there, it just kept happening. So that's how I started. So I've been doing it, yeah, since I was really young.
And then you got into One Life to Live by the age of 7. Now, that had to be really rough on a little kid like that at that age to remember lines and take direction. I mean, did they really push you or, I mean, how was that experience for you at such a young age?
I remember it being amazing. I loved every second of it. Erica Slezak was really my second mom. You know, she on the set when we'd go upstairs to shoot the scenes, she was with me and she would like really protect me. And then downstairs, my mom was with me, so she'd protect me. So it was kind of like I was always surrounded by a lot of love, and it just never the pressure. I never felt pressure. And it was great because I was able to go to normal school. I was able to really lead a somewhat normal life and make One Life to Live like an extracurricular activity, you know, which I think is the most healthy thing even for adults to do. Because it just kind of keeps the world into perspective, you know.
Right. Well, I was reading that you really wanted to keep it so much a secret. To keep it separate, you would keep it secret, like a guarded thing for you when you would go home. It's not something that you really spoke about with your friends and stuff like that. So, I mean, despite the popularity of the character on the show, how did you get to keep it such a secret and live a quote-unquote normal teenage life?
Well, once I got into a teenager, it was a little tough because the parents knew and you know, word started to spread probably when I was like 13, 14, and that's when I stopped singing. I was like, oh my gosh, I really got into boys and friends, and I almost wanted to leave acting totally. I wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to just, you know, hang out with friends at home, but it was something I've always, it's just been really deep inside of me, something that I just love to do. Like, once you say action, it was just very obvious that I love doing it, you know? So I'm thankful that I didn't leave for friends and parties and boys at 14. You know, I'm glad I stuck through it. But but it was hard when I got to that age, 16, to balance it all. You know, that became a little bit of a juggling act. But being in Pennsylvania so far removed from anything to do with, you know, being an actress, it was very easy to lead a completely different life once you're there. You know, nobody really knew what to talk about. They didn't know about it, so they wouldn't talk about it, you know.
Yeah. So tell me, how did your parents keep you grounded as far as the acting in the acting and how do you think you benefited from the actions of it all being a secret? I mean, because if you see today, I mean, these girls, I mean, they go out there, the actresses now, they're just so whacked out and out of control. It's like their parents have absolutely no discipline, no control, no nothing. And in my personal opinion, most of them see them as just an extra paycheck, you know, and mom doesn't have to work anymore. And that wasn't yours in the case. Your parents wouldn't let you move into the city at a young age. You stayed in Pennsylvania. So now being 27, what do you think your benefits were from those actions back then?
They really stuck to the point of it being, I love to do it. It being a craft. Like, like friends would go play basketball. I would go do... It was a job, but it was a fun job, and I enjoyed it, and I loved it. I had no clue I made money at it until I was really, and don't judge me, but until I was like 15, which sounds ridiculous, but like I had no clue. I mean, my girlfriends, my best friend since I was 2 years old, will tell you stories that like their older sister would take us to the mall, and I would walk out with nothing, and they'd walk out with bags of stuff because I thought, like, well, I babysat too. So I was on TV, and I babysat because I really – the babysitting money, $6 an hour to me, was what I made. So that's what I paid lunch school with. That's what I bought clothes with. You know, that was my money, the $6 an hour, 2 hours a week.
Wow.
Yeah, my girlfriend's sisters laugh at it now because I was, they thought, you know, this, what is this girl? She's crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that helped out a lot. But also just like, you know, it's what you love. It's what you do. There's nothing glamorous about it. It's just what it is. You know, there was
right.
no choice in the matter. So it was just kind of like, and my sister was completely opposite of me. She's an artist. She's a painter and just really creative in a different way. And so I was constantly, you know, we would just throw things off of each other. And it was just a very normal household. And they kept,
right.
you know, realizing what's important. And mm-hmm. the money, the fame, that's really obviously not important. That's not what life's about, you know?
Right, right,
for my
right.
family. So I think that's a little bit of it.
Well, I think they did a fabulous job. I'll tell you that. I really do. I commend them on that because it can't be easy, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, I don't think it was easy. And I think, you know, them, my mom being asked to move out to California and stuff, I think she struggled with, you know, am I doing a disservice to my daughter by not, you know, there's pluses and minuses to everything. If she did move out to L.A., you know, different things could have happened, but we wouldn't
mm-hmm.
have had a family, you know.
Right, right.
So it just keeps going back to what is the most important thing in life, you know.
Yes. Let me see here. Now, you know, I just really commend your parents and you on that because you just look at the TV now and it could have been so much worse. You know what I mean? So people should actually take lessons. And during that interview that you did with Planet Music, and I hate repeating these stories, but what you said, there was a reality show that you were watching about plastic surgery.
That was a long time.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You touched on that, and it just brought back a lot, and it just showed a lot about your personality and stuff. And I wanted to bring that up again because I commend you on that too. For everybody that's listening, she was watching a reality show, and there was a girl on there who was visibly anorexic or had some type of eating disorder that was getting plastic surgery, and the doctor was willing to condone and do it as long as her potassium level was up, and I would have done the same exact thing that you did. I would have wrote a letter. I would have went nuts.
Well, I, you know, being in New York is a completely, I don't know about now, but back in the day when I was on One Life to Live, there wasn't like Star Magazine. None of that stuff was really prevalent.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was never even talked about. Never once did anyone come to me and say anything about my weight. But then when
mm-hmm.
I moved out to LA, it was like, whoa, this world exists. Like it is a very, very huge problem in
right.
the industry. And
mm-hmm.
Nobody really sticks up for it, or else they'll stick up for it and say women should have curves, and then they go and do a diet and lose 20
mm-hmm.
pounds on the cover of the magazine saying how I did it, you know. But when I saw that TV show, yeah, that really upset me. But the,
mm-hmm.
I have views on plastic surgery and all that stuff, but who doesn't, you know?
Of course, yeah.
But yeah,
yeah.
That, it's just happened all the time. And out in California, you know, agents telling you what you should look like and shouldn't look like. It's just, it's part of the business, and you either choose to, you choose how you want to deal with it, you know, if you're going to continue to be in the business, you have to. And to keep a level head and keep your, it's funny, I was talking about this with my boyfriend today, but to keep, like, your sense of self is pretty hard because
mm-hmm.
everyone has an opinion of
exactly.
what you should be doing or what you should be looking like, you know?
Right, right.
Which in the end doesn't matter. Like, who cares? As long as you're healthy and doing what you love, what does it matter, you know? But
mm-hmm.
it does, so.
Yeah, so I just wanted to touch on that real quick because it really moved me to hear you say stuff like that, so.
Oh, thanks.
All right, well, now, tell me about coming back to Landview for the first time in so many years. Were you shocked when they called you and asked you to come back? As a child, your character actually lost all grown up.
I know. I was like, can you explain that to me one more time? I'm sorry. You talked a little too fast. I was so confused when Frank called me. But
mm-hmm.
All he said was kind of the magic words. You'll be working with Erica. And Mark
mm-hmm.
Derwin was coming back, too. So we were staying in the same hotel, and we'd work together on that day. And
mm-hmm.
he's a good friend of mine out here. So And you'll see Phil Carey, and he named a few people that would be on the set, and I was like, oh, it's a no-brainer, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, and then reality kicked in. I'm like, oh, my gosh. They gave me the script, and it was like 30 pages of dialogue. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I haven't done this in a few years, you know? You wonder if your brain, the cobwebs will still be there, you know?
Right.
I was a little nervous. I was like, oh, geez, this is going to be tough.
What was the day like for you on the set, seeing everybody again?
Oh, it was awesome. It was honestly like going back to a huge family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great. And it was just great. Seeing Erica and working with Erica was just awesome. I mean,
mm-hmm.
so awesome. And you don't realize how much you miss everybody, you know? But then you feel, saying goodbye, like I thought, it was just like, okay, see you tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not coming back tomorrow.
Right. Aww.
So, yeah, it was very funny. It was very funny.
Oh, well, that's good. We enjoyed seeing you. It was really a nice piece they put together.
Yeah, so it was really a cool show, huh?
It was. It really. You didn't get to watch it?
No, it was. Yeah, I see. It was definitely.
Oh,
cool
yeah,
show.
It was definitely great. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked the whole thing they did for the 40th anniversary. I thought they did it a really good service.
Yeah.
Now, since leaving One Life to Live, you've done some voiceovers. Princess Aurora in Disney's Princess Enchanted, Follow Your Dreams. Now, were you did you do the voice of Viper in Kung Fu Panda?
For the video game.
Oh, okay. It didn't specify, so I had to think about that one. I said okay, they had two different names listed. I was like, wait a minute. Now I know I saw that movie, and I don't kind of remember that.
That's
so that
Lucy
was the video
Liu.
Game.
It's, yeah,
yeah.
Liu in the real movie, and then I. Did it for the video game.
Oh, okay, okay. And then you did many other guest spots and a couple movies here and there. What do you prefer to live, if you had the choice right now to live the rest of your life acting or singing, which would it be?
Oh, singing. Definitely. I've left my agents and I'm not really pursuing acting at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I'm just doing voiceovers and my music, which is
mm-hmm.
really awesome, because for the first couple of years while I was out here, I was splitting my time in between auditioning every day, you know, sometimes
right.
five times a day, and then trying to write my music and trying to do what I came out here to do, which was my music.
Mm-hmm.
And then do the voice. It was just too much. So something had to give, you know?
Right.
And music is my first love. It's always been my love. And, It's what I need to do, you know?
Mm-hmm,
my dream.
Mm-hmm.
Totally my dream.
You did some jingles when you were a kid. Do you remember any of them?
Oh, gosh, I remember all of them.
You really?
Isn't that crazy? They're ingrained in my brain. I don't know why. I don't know how, but they are. Maybe, yeah, because when you do a jingle, you do it. You go in there, you sing it once, and it's done, and you go home. But then I
right.
think you hear it so much. I did, like, this baby doll commercial called Tiny Tears.
Okay.
You want me to sing it for you?
Good. You want to know something in the chat room? They say, can you make her sing something a cappella for us?
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, they
well, then,
want you to sing.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, well, this will be a huge letdown because this is just a little jingle. This is a little doll jingle. And I don't know if I, you know how like when you, well, let me do it. I'll do it for you. Ready?
Okay, go ahead.
My friends are probably listening going, no! All right, let me do it. Tiny tears, I wish I knew why. Tiny tears, what makes you cry? Are you sleepy? Are you hungry? I'll hold you near. Tiny tears, your mommy's here. I did that when I was 5 years old. Can you imagine a little girl singing that?
Aw, it's so cute.
Yeah, right?
Oh, God, they're going crazy in the chat room.
Oh, they are?
Yes, they are.
That's
awesomeness.
Not my music. That's not the music I write, by the way.
No, I've been posting your website in the chat room, so they're all. I told everybody to go listen to it. They're just saying, very good job, Tiny Tears, good job, Erin. Aw, they're all just going nuts. It's so cute.
Oh, that's great.
Do you remember what the very first song you ever wrote was and the meaning behind it?
That's a good question. A lot of the songs I wrote when I first got my guitar, I was in New York and I was deciding on what to do with One Life, and I think my first song is called, I honestly think my first real complete song I wrote was Ordinary Girl, which is on my
mm-hmm.
album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, it's about everyone thinking you're ordinary and thinking they can just say whatever they want to you, and kind of like authorities, you know, producers and agents and stuff. Just expecting you to be blonde and blue-eyed so you're not that smart, and they can just tell you
mm-hmm.
what to do and tell you what to look like. And
Right.
So that song was a bit of a, for lack of better words, F you.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first song I wrote, if you can believe. It's pretty
okay,
intense.
Okay, well, I'll tell you right now, every time I mention it, they say, okay, now sing it.
Now that's what they're saying?
Sing it. Okay, sing it. Sing it.
Oh, no, that's I need my guitar.
Yeah, no, that's too difficult
to
sing.
That's too difficult to sing without
on the phone.
Yeah.
They're asking me, do you play any other instruments besides the guitar?
No, I don't. The piano, I dabble in, but not nearly as much as I should. So it's just the guitar. I tell my mom, I wish she did one thing different. I wish it was beat me into piano lessons.
Yeah.
It's so important, you know.
You know what? It's true. As you get older, you start to think about the things that your parents tried to make you do when you were a kid,
yes.
And now you wish they would have, you know?
Yes.
So I know. Yeah, definitely. And back then, they really did enforce music on you in school and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's kind of important, especially, you know, to keep people cultured and rounded and just give these kids an opportunity to do everything, even if they hate it, you
know,
just make them do it.
It's so true. I think a lot of
mm-hmm.
it has to do with the teacher, too. I just did not like my piano teacher. Like, I really hated it, so I didn't want to practice, you know. But
right.
If my mom knew better now, she probably would just find me another piano teacher.
What did I just miss what they were saying? They just told me to ask you something. Oh, how long have you been playing the guitar? You're self-taught, right?
Yes. So I've been playing since I was 18. I'm 27.
Okay. Oh, okay. Was it difficult to teach yourself?
Yes. I went to a few lessons in New York. But learning the guitar, I'm telling you, I've met a guitar teacher out here who said, you know, Bob Dylan still takes lessons. Like, it's just, never can master it. And unless you're in your room 3 hours a day, it's a really hard instrument. I mean, you know, learning any instrument's tough. But I really use it to write. And now my dad, growing up, always played the piano. So I would play guitar and he played piano and we'd write music together. And now my boyfriend, he plays piano for me. So.
Oh, okay.
When we met, I went to his house, and I'm like, you have a music room. Why don't you play the piano? And he's like, well, I do. But, you know, I said, here, learn one of my songs. And he learned one of my songs. And I said, learn another one. And he kept learning, and now it's him and I. We're in a band. It's our band.
Oh, that's really good. That's
yeah.
really cool. Oh,
very
good.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Well, are you ready to take some calls?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to go to area code 847. You're on the phone with Erin.
Oh, thank you. Am I really on the phone with the original Jessica? Can you hear me?
Yes.
That's Rita. Yes, say hi, Rita.
Rita, hi.
How are you?
Well, now that I'm talking to you, amazed.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Erin, can I ask you a question?
How
did it feel, although it's unusual in daytime? And did this make it easier for you? Because to play a grounded, more on the nice side, more on the normal side compared to your average soap characters, how did that make it easier for you? Or did you want to branch out into bigger challenges? 'Cause you played a normal girl, you played it just a normal, nice, kind person. I'm so glad you came back.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And you were Vicky's, what do you call it, tour guide?
The granddaughter.
Yeah. You were a granddaughter, but you were also like a guide.
Yes. You know what's so funny? What I truly believe in, and I could be completely wrong, but my theory never has proven wrong from people I've met and known in the business. Your characters kind of, and not a lot of people are going to be happy to hear this, but your characters kind of resemble you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you understand? Like, there always is a trace. You're not going to be hired for a job that, like, I just, you know, I've tried to play a bad girl, and I've put on tons of makeup, and I've, you know, really tried to be like, okay, I'm going to be mean, and I'm going to be a vixen, right? And as soon as, like, it's just not in me. Like, it just isn't, you don't have anything to draw from.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I could see that with you.
Yeah, so there's just, you know, and some people may say that's ridiculous, but you have to know, especially on a soap opera, I think it's definitely narrowed down to a soap opera because you're there every day and you have to be this character every day instead of going, like, to a movie for 3 months and then you can walk away from it. When it's your character, your personality is definitely molded in there. It just is. Like, Erica and Vicky are very similar. Like, she's a classy, beautiful, strong woman. And it's the same in person, you know?
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
So, yeah, it was easy. It was definitely easy.
I hope that wasn't true of your TV dad. Because he made it, he got so impossible at times, it literally made it difficult for me to even watch One Life. That's how bad he got. Mitch! I'm talking about your biological dad.
Oh, right.
Don't you remember that?
Yes.
I mean, that didn't come out till way late. That may not even came out till your replacement stepped in.
No, I was there for a little bit of that. Yeah, that was intense. That was definitely intense.
Well, I hope he's not anything like his character because
he
portrays that way too good.
He's in the I know, right? That was
so. How did you come out to be such a nice person with a father like him being your biological father?
I know, right? He didn't raise me. It's all about what you're raised in, isn't it?
Clint is grounded. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, he's still grounded.
Yes.
Even if he's doing things to keep the company, that not quite Clint. Type.
Right. Yeah.
Is there any chance of you coming back again? I mean, we don't want Vicky to go to heaven again, but...
I know. You know, Ron Calavardi, he was there when I was there as an assistant, and he and I were really good friends. We would go out a lot, and I just really love him, and I think he's doing an amazing job. So if he were to write something, it'd be hard to say no to him. Because I think he's just
tell
so
you
great.
What, if we could write it in and with your permission, how about you being, and I think this is really the only way you're going to be able to save your TV mother, even though you're not there, maybe you could be like Nash's long-lost cousin. And that's he was the only one that was able to get through to Tess.
Right.
You know
right.
that. So maybe, with your permission, can we write you in? I know you just said you love singing, but we love you.
You're very sweet.
Maybe you could be like a cousin of Nash, because Nash was the only one. Not even Vicky or Nikki could get through to Tess.
Right.
Only Nash. So maybe you could be like a cousin or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, Nash didn't know his family. With your permission, we got to get something.
Okay.
To help your mother. The only thing that's going to snap her out of there is either a dream from Nash or a cousin, like someone like you, that could just bring her back.
Yeah.
There is nothing that's going to take her pain away in it.
Well, yeah, Rita, I suggest you get that writing campaign started.
I know, right?
And you know who my friend is, Joanne, that'll do that for me, Jenna.
That's right. She's in there. She's in the chat room. She's going to do it for you.
That's great. You guys should get paid for this stuff.
You know, I'm telling you. All
well,
right,
I just feel privileged that I'm allowed to voice my opinions.
Yeah, this
that we're allowed
lightly.
To do
Joanne
that.
Doing. Yeah, it's so cool. Rita, it was so nice talking to you. Thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you for talking to me. Joanne, can I stay listening?
Absolutely, Rita.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye, Rita. Thank you
so much. I feel so.
Okay. She's just a doll. Yes, she definitely is. Let's see. Next caller we're going to go to is area code 815. You're on the phone with Erin. What's your name and your question?
Hey.
Hi.
This is Jenna. hey, Erin. I like your name.
Thank you.
That was going to be my name if it wasn't Jenna. So.
Oh, really?
Cool for me. Yeah. Spelled the exact same way and everything. But, yeah, Rita kind of stole my question, but I thought of another one. What was it like working with, besides Erica, but, like, with the rest of the cast? Who else did you work with, like, closely when you were there?
When I was on it. I worked with everybody over 13 years. You make the rounds.
Yeah.
But Bob Woods, Phil Carey, Roger Howarth, when he was there, and I were really close. I love that man. Who else? I mean, it's so funny when I really think back to the time. I think about those key people that I talked to you about, and also like the hair and makeup people, and the stage managers and the cameramen. Like they were all really cool. But everybody on the set. I mean, it's a really great cast over there, and there's some people there now, obviously, that I don't know. But all the veterans that have been there forever, were just great. It's like one big family. Really cool. And Robin Strausser, I lived in her apartment in New York when I first moved to New York by myself at 17. She put me in her apartment, which was really nice of
her.
That's
really weird because that's how old I am.
How old are you, hon? You're 17?
I'm 17, yeah.
Whoa, so wait, I wasn't on the show. So you saw me on the show ever?
I started watching actually this year, but I've seen like clips on YouTube, and then I've seen like, of course, I saw the 40th anniversary. Everyone kept going nuts, and I'm like, I don't know who this person is. And then I started watching clips, and I'm like, dude, she's awesome.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thanks. I was going to say, because you would have been too young to be watching.
Yeah. My mom used to watch Days when I was like 3, and now she doesn't watch anything anymore. So she's like surprised why I like them. It's like, Mom, you used to make me watch Blair and Bo and Hope when I was 3, and you're surprised I like them now? What?
Right.
This is weird, but
that's awesome.
Well, it's fun talking to you. I'm gonna you talk to everyone else.
Thank you so much. Good luck. You're 17. The world's ahead of you, man. Go get them.
Yep, and I totally want to be an actress or soap actress.
All right,
so
well, follow your dream, honey.
Thank
you.
All right, Jenna.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, 17.
Okay. The viewers are getting younger and younger in the soaps now, so I think that's actually what they're aiming for. I mean, I was 17 when I watched too, but it just seems like now they're gearing more towards 17-year-olds. When I was 17, they sure weren't trying to get, you know, our attention at 17. So.
Right, right.
So, but it seems to be whatever they're doing is working.
Wow, that's great.
So let's go to area code 320. You're on the phone with Erin.
Hi, Erin.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thank you.
I started watching One Life to Live because of your storyline. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, wait, so the pregnancy storyline probably?
Yeah. I love that storyline.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, it was a great storyline to do.
Yeah. What was it like?
Playing the pregnancy storyline was pretty intense because I was actually, Jenna, the woman who just called before, I was her age. I mean, I was 16, 17. But it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. It just was a lot of it was a lot of work at the time trying to graduate high school at the same time of being working every day. But, you know, I remember being – that was one of my favorite storylines as well to do.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. You sound like a baby, too.
Well, I'm not that young, but I'm 22.
Oh, that's young.
Well, yeah, you're a baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I act even younger.
You did? Hey, that's okay. That's good.
Okay, did you answer your question?
Can I ask one more?
Sure.
Do you still keep in touch with your co-stars?
Yes, I do. I keep in touch with Eileen, Kristen, Bob Woods, Erica, who else? Cassie DePive and I talk once in a while. Yeah, so there's some people that I do keep in touch with. It's hard, you know, especially being, I'm living in California now, so the time difference is a little tricky. But as soon as I go back there, it's great to see everyone, you know. And Kristen Alderson came to the set to see me when I was there, which was really sweet.
Yeah, she's a sweet girl.
Yeah. So that was good. So thank
okay.
you for your question.
Yep, thank you.
All right, good luck
okay.
with everything.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. You see, isn't that funny how it all comes around, goes around? When you were 17, you did the pregnancy storyline, but when they wrote it in for Star and Cole, it became like this big controversy. It was like, oh my gosh, she's having sex. It really, the fans were really outraged by it. I don't know if that was like that when you were doing the storyline, because we didn't have the internet and all that other stuff to see and voice opinions on, but now, when they wrote that storyline for Kristen, it became like this big controversial issue where they went on The View to talk about it, you know? It was just like really weird, not thinking, hey, you know, they already did this storyline many years
right.
ago.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I guess times have changed. Times have really changed. But
yeah.
I think it's cool that they made a big deal about it. With my thing, with the storyline we had, it was the first time I had sex. Was that how it was with her?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was?
Yep. Yes, it was.
Oh, that's cool.
It was, yeah, so, I mean, and it was the first and only time, and now she's given the baby up for adoption. So it just, you know, they did it with you. They're doing it with her. So I just don't understand, you know, like, why don't people remember that, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. I think at that time with the show, there was so many other. It was Jill Farren Phelps, and she just had that show rocking, you know?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of other great storylines going on at the time too. But
mm-hmm.
we did a PSA for health classes.
Yeah.
That the still health classes today are shown. It's the whole story, and we did there's like voiceover throughout it, and it's just telling kids, you know, safe sex.
Oh, okay.
To withstand from sex, the whole thing. So.
Right.
I'm shocked that that's still going to health, you know, classes. But the publicist of One Life to Live told me that last time I was home. She said it's still circulating. So that's awesome.
Right.
Here.
Right. Well, they did, like, I've seen them do, like, a little PSA at the end of one of the episodes or something like that, but that was the extent of it. But they've been on The View talking about it and stuff. But, yeah, times definitely have changed, and I don't think we really heard too much about it when you did it because we didn't have the internet and all those other avenues of expression, you know, where now
yeah.
it's just, like, everywhere. So anybody that's got an opinion is definitely going to
say it.
Voice it. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's see here. We're going to move over to area code 910. You're on the phone with Erin. 910. Hello.
How are you doing? Hello.
Hi.
I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. It's Melinda. How you guys doing?
Hi, Melinda.
Oh, good.
I had a question for Erin about her previous time on One Life to Live. What was her most memorable. Yeah, thank you. time on one of your time on your on the show.
The most memorable storyline and stuff like that, or just like in general behind the scenes stuff.
Either one in general, pretty much.
You know, there's so many, but the most memorable would probably be you know, the first thing that comes to my mind, when I was 16, the whole cast threw me a huge birthday party with two huge heart cakes because my birthday's on February 14th. And I was working. That's, like, throughout the pregnancy storyline, throughout all the storyline. I was working every day, so it was, like, a nutty time, and they threw me a huge 16th birthday party, which was really sweet. But as far as memories, like, it's just everything was so very cool. A lot of the stuff with Erica, a lot of when I was young, when I came on, she had a stroke on the show, and I had my character had to feed her and all this stuff, and I remember that impacting me a lot as a kid, you know, having to pretend that my mom is sick and I had to feed her. Like, that really was intense for me as a kid, so that was pretty memorable, and that was when I was 8.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. Do you ever plan on coming back to One Life to Live other than just, like, once in a great while? Have they asked you at all if you would be wanting to come back?
No, they haven't, because they've got Bree as Jessica, you know, so I think it's just kind of, it's not even up for debate. You know?
Well, we'll just have to keep writing in and try to get you back on somehow.
Thank you. Yeah, Ron says he has some ideas. I don't know what they are, though. I didn't ask. I just said, you know, let me know. I mean, I love New York. I miss New York, but I've got a great life in California, too. So, like, whatever's meant to happen, you know, life is.
Hey, maybe you can be related to, like, Star's child somehow, like a great aunt or something. Who knows?
Right. It would have to be interesting how they do it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It would be interesting.
Right, well, thank you so much, Erin.
Okay,
nice
thanks,
son.
Thank you for calling.
Care.
Thank
right,
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Melinda. There, you know, a good way for them to write you back in there would definitely be something similar to what General Hospital did with Sarah Brown and Laura Wright. Because Sarah Brown played the original Carly on General Hospital. Laura Wright came and stepped in after she left and after so many other Carlys in between. But they brought her back as a totally different character. They could probably bring you back as a relative of Nash's so you could play against Bree, you know?
Are people liking that?
I don't know. I just thought of it.
Yeah.
No, I just put it out there. I thought it was a pretty good idea.
Hey, I think you guys should be paid for this.
You know, the Sarah Brown storyline. Yeah, everybody likes that. Likes that whole.
Cool.
Yeah, they really do. That seems to be working out pretty well.
Does everyone like that story?
Oh yeah. They seem to like that one pretty well. Sarah Brown really does a good job. Is this? She plays a mean person now, like a mob princess or however. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely. Definitely different, but that would be something good that they could do it. You know, play up against Bree. Just an idea. Okay. Let's move on to, here we go, Tony from Chicago. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Joanne, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Say hi to Erin.
Hi. Hi, Erin, how are you?
Tony.
Thank you for saying what. Don't wear it out now.
What's going on, Tony?
That's Tony. Thank you. And everything's all right, Erin. It's a great night in Chicago. First of all, I want to, first of all, commend you for your time playing Jessica on One Night to Live and also most recently playing Megan in the 40th anniversary episode. And you and Erica, the scenes between you guys were just like you never left.
Oh, thank you so much.
It was just amazing. And really funny. But and you also have a good thing. By the way, I loved your jingle, too, because I was listening on and I loved the jingle and everything. Now, you have an album out, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's the name of that album? Do you know?
Part of the Plan.
Part of the Plan. And you wrote, did you write all the songs on there yourself?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I had a chance to listen to on your MySpace page, and you are very good. You are a very good singer.
Thank you.
Without question, a very good singer. By the way, I agree with Joanne and all the people, but yeah, we need to bring you back on the show. Yeah, I would definitely give a thumbs up on for Nash's relative.
Okay.
So you got about 4 votes right there, so you got a 4th vote for me.
Okay, 4 votes, man. We're on our way, right?
Ruth and Sarah in the chat room, and they're going to start a writing campaign. I know it.
Oh, that is so funny.
We got to get on that.
Yeah.
They are.
Well, I just wanted to say that to you. And,
oh, Tony, thank you so much. I love Chicago. Hopefully I come out to Chicago and perform because my band, we're traveling a little bit, and Chicago is one of my favorite places. I stayed there for like 6 months when I was doing a Broadway show when I was 12, and it was one of my favorite city.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. When you do have a tour date in Chicago, I'll definitely try to come see you.
Okay. You have to ask to be my friend on MySpace so I can tell you.
No problem. I'm going to be on there. I will log on tomorrow.
Perfect.
I will put myself in the friend list tomorrow.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Rita. And Joanne, I'll talk to you. Hey, my pleasure, Aaron. I could see your success on your music and your acting, whatever. And I hope we can bring you back to One Mic Clip. If not, good luck on your music.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Okay, bye, Tony.
All right, Tony.
I'll talk to you tomorrow night, Joanne.
All right, Tony. Take care.
Okay.
Yeah, Tony's fantastic.
Oh, good.
He and for everybody that's listening, I've been writing in the chat room. You can go to www.erintorpemusic.com and purchase the CD also.
Yeah, and it's
so
on iTunes,
head on,
too.
And it's on iTunes as well, so go check it out. And as a matter of fact, on the front page of Blog Talk, on my page, I have links up there through Amazon.com also. So, and if you have any little girls, there's the, I think the Disney Princess movie's up there, too.
Yeah.
Along with Dirty Deeds, so check that out, too. excuse me, area code 215. You're on the phone with Erin.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, am I on?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Hi, this is Joe from Philly.
Hi, you came to see my show.
Yes, I did.
Hi,
and
Joe.
I loved it.
How are you?
Very good.
For calling in. I heard 215, and I'm like, uh-oh, that's where I'm from.
Uh-huh.
Joanne, I just performed back east a week ago, and it was an amazing show, a sold out show. And
right.
Joe came.
How nice.
One Life to Live growing up with his mom and stuff. So hi, Joe.
Got my CD autographed. Got my picture. I was very happy.
Yeah.
Oh wow, you're a good supporter.
Yeah, that's very cool.
In fact, that's what I wanted to ask you. If you said you might be coming back again, and will you be planning on touring like with a full band or like on the CD? I love how you have, you know, with the drums and, you know, as far as having the whole backup band.
Yeah, you know, I when I performed out here a bit, I had a drummer and then a cello player and a few different things. I love having as many people as I can, you know. So back east, I have got a great friend. What instrument do you play, Joe?
I play guitar, actually.
Oh, maybe you can play.
I've been playing for about 20 years.
Oh, well, I may need you next time. How's that sound? I'm not kidding.
That sounds awesome.
No,
I'm not kidding either. I mean, I'll listen to the CD. I could definitely see myself playing something like that, you know.
Okay. Yeah, it's chicky music, but you might be able to do it.
It's great.
I'll tell you next time I'm going to perform there.
You mentioned possibly the Sellersville?
Yeah, Sellersville Theater in Pennsylvania. Everyone that's listening, this might not make sense to them, but yeah, Sellersville Theater. I'll probably be performing.
Can I ask a final question?
Yes.
Okay. I actually just sent the picture of you and me to my sister, and she still watches. She lives in California, where I grew up, and she still watches the show. And she was a little jealous and wants to know if I get the CD. You know, if I buy her the CD, would you be able to sign it? And you know,
yes,
so maybe next time you come around. Or
where does she live in California?
We're all based, San Francisco, Bay Area, Northern
okay.
California.
Yeah, totally. If you can, I'll give you an address to send it to on MySpace. You can email me. I check those emails. It's just hard to write back, like, right away, but I keep it pretty up to date. So just write me, and I'll send you an address where you can send it, and I'll sign and send it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot again for everything, and hope to see you soon.
Okay, Joe, thank you. Thanks for
Bye-bye.
Calling. Bye, hon.
Bye, Joe. Yeah, everybody in the chat room is asking, is there an address that you get fan mail at?
You know, I need to set that up.
Not yet, right? Yeah, I was looking at your website. You didn't have a fan club set up yet. Address.
I need to set that up. It's so hard to get everything put together, but if they just keep checking back on my, or you can log in and say, like, tell me your email, and I'll put that
mm-hmm.
on my email list. And then once I get a place to send it, I'll send everyone.
All right, yeah, I'll tell them. Everyone go to erintorpemusic.com and
put your email in to the sign-up box, and you'll get updates once her fan club is set up, and then you'll be able to see the addresses where you can write to her.
Right, and
so,
also when I'm performing around, if I'm performing in any of their hometowns, I can write them.
Right. It'll give performance lists and schedules and all that other stuff. So go sign up on her website, erintorpemusic.com, and sign up for the alerts. Okay, we're going to area code 512. This is Texas. Brandon, where are you?
Can you hear me, Joanne?
I certainly can. Say hi to Erin.
Hi, Erin. How are you? My name is Brandon.
Hi, Brandon. How are you?
Pretty good. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. It was a great thrill seeing you back on the show a few months ago, and it's a great thrill talking to you tonight.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling, too.
So you mentioned Jill Farron Phelps a while back, and I'm a writer myself, and I always enjoy hearing about the behind-the-scenes stuff. And you worked for some pretty interesting, intense, intelligent executive producers, and I was wondering if you could talk about your experiences with people like Jill Farron Phelps and Linda Gottlieb, and did Paul Rausch hire you?
Yes, Paul hired me, which is a very funny story. I auditioned. It was between me and Rachel Miner, which Rachel Miner is an actress now, but her dad was a director on the show, and her and I were friends because we'd see each other at auditions in New York a lot. And I looked to my mom, and I'm like, Mom, her dad works here. Like, I would love to work with my dad, you know? So my mom's like, exactly. She's going to be playing Jessica. She's going to get the role. You just need, you know, you can go have fun, and maybe you'll play her friend. And then somehow I wound up getting it. But I walked into Paul's office, and it was just Paul and I was 7 years old. And he's a pretty intimidating guy, you know?
Yeah.
But he was amazing. He was amazing. And he was just great, but Linda Gottlieb was awesome. Jill Farron Phelps was awesome. Jill's the most I remember because that's when I started to work a lot. She gave me an amazing story, and I still see her out here in LA once in a while. She's just a great. I think she's an incredible producer.
Yeah, she gave a lot of people an amazing story during her time on.
Yeah, I think she.
Show,
now she's doing it on General Hospital. I just think she's really smart and just knows what she's doing. She's just awesome. And Frank and I've known Frank. He's the producer now. He started off as a stage manager at One Life to Live. So when I was there, he was there, and he was awesome. He's awesome, and I think he's doing a great job too. So.
Yeah, I saw an interview with Erica like a while back, and she said that Frank started off as Paul's slave, basically
his assistant,
you know, lowly assistant, and kind of worked his way up doing every single job on the show up until, you know, getting the top job.
Oh, yeah, he's incredible. He's a go-getter for sure. Yeah,
that's definitely pretty interesting.
Yeah, really cool, right? It's a neat thing to know that, like, you can work your way up to that, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's very cool. He's a really great guy. So it was good to see him when I went back, too, because when I left, he had just gotten promoted to that job. So
yeah.
I wasn't able to be there when he was producer, which was pretty ironic.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a bummer. Because Gary Tomlin was before him.
Right.
That's his last name, right?
I believe so. Right,
yeah.
Brandon?
Yes.
Yeah, Gary Tomlin, yeah. I did. So anyway, that's it. Enough said on that front.
So I remember when Gina Tognoni left the show, and you two had a couple of really good scenes as she was saying goodbye to Jessica. And I think that you two are pretty good friends in real life, and I'm wondering if you still keep in touch with...
Oh, Gigi, yes. She's a very close friend. I love her very much. I don't see her as much as I would love to because now she lives in New York. But she's getting married, and I'll be at her wedding, and she's just an incredible woman. I love her. Yeah, so, I mean, if we could work together again, that would be... She came to visit One Life to Live when I was there back for the 40th anniversary, which was really funny because I was staying in, we shared a dressing room, and I was back in my dressing room with the dressing room that we shared, so it was very funny. I mean, we've known each other since I was, you know, 14. So, yeah, she's a great woman.
Yeah.
Do you watch her on Guiding Light?
Absolutely. I think she's amazing, and I've been watching One Life to Live for 20 years now, and when she came on the show, it was such a breath of fresh air. She was such a such a different character and such a different actress. And
she's odd. Joanne, have you contacted her to have her on the show?
Who's that?
Do you do ABC only?
No, I do everybody if I can. You know, Brandon, I'll tell you, it's been a little bit trying to get some of the other guests from different soaps on the show, so we've been working on it.
Let me tell Gina about it then, okay? And I'll
have absolutely. Yeah. Because, trust me, right, Brandon? We could use all the help we could get for crying
absolutely.
Out loud.
Yeah.
We're all kind of beating the bushes, and it's been pretty interesting getting the show, you know, up and running, and I've been helping out whenever I can. And
very cool.
Brandon is a writer, Erin, and he's just fabulous. And how I met Brandon was I had Judith Evans on the show from Days. And I've never watched a day of Days of Our Lives in my life, but I refused to turn away any guest, you know, because I want everybody to the whole purpose of the show, Stardish, was to branch out to other avenues and not just ABC or whatever. But Brandon knows everything and anything. I mean, you can literally sit with him for hours and talk about soaps. He knows every in and out, producer, writer, from this to that to this to
Brandon,
that.
That's
and
awesome.
he's great. And he knew so much about Judy Evans, and he totally saved my ass on that show. So that's how Brandon and I became cyber buddies.
Oh, that's great. Well, Brandon, I'll try and get Gina on there, okay?
Okay, that would be fabulous.
Yeah.
Definitely. So it's been a little bit of trying, you know. We've done some people from One Life, hardly any from All My Children, and almost the whole cast of General Hospital. So it's like, go figure. It's like feast or famine, you know. And
Rebecca Luddick is a good friend of mine as well, so I'll tell her.
Oh, really? I just had her husband on the other night. Bob.
Oh, did he tell her he'd get her on?
I didn't really come out and ask him. I told him she's a wanted woman. On my website, I have a wish list where I have all my listeners go throw in names that they all want to see on the show.
Right.
So this way, if the powers that be want to go look at the website and see if it's a legitimate thing, and, you know, I'm not BSing them, they can see it. But I told them that she was wanted, but it's been hard to get in contact with her. I won't lie about that. So, I tried.
I'll tell her, too. I'll tell her and Gina. They're my
thank you, Erin. That's very sweet. This hour went by so damn fast, I can't stand it. We got 2 minutes left.
Oh, wow.
It went by really, really fast.
That did go by fast. Everyone is so sweet.
Yeah, well, you didn't think anybody was going to call. Get out of here.
I'm sure a lot of people think that, though, don't they? Or no?
You know what? I don't think if they do, they don't voice it, you know.
Right.
I don't think anybody really, you know, has said anything about it. You mentioned your really good friend, Eileen Kristen. She's been on the show, and she's fabulous. She's actually, I spoke to her today. She's going to come back on. She was already on the show, but she's going to come back on again. I love having repeat people back on because they always have something to talk about.
Right.
And I like connecting the fans to their favorites, and that's exactly what we did today. A lot of people got to speak to that were dying to speak to you, and I, you know, maybe a little dreams come true.
Oh, that's so cool, Joanne. Thank
and
you.
But let me tell you before I let you go, Brandon was the first one to request you.
Oh, Brandon, thank you.
I'm sorry, Brandon. I had to call you out on that one. Brandon was the first request. I have to say that.
I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, and nothing against Bree, but you are Jessica to me.
Oh, that is so sweet. Thank you so much. And you're a pro at this, so that's a huge compliment. It seems like you watch a lot of this. So.
I've been a soap fan from the womb, so it's...
Oh, wow. Wow, that's very cool. So you grow up, basically, so for 20
years. It's a very unique form of entertainment, and it's going to be sorely missed when it finally does.
I know. Well,
fade into the woodwork.
Yeah, you never know. They've been saying it's fading away since I was there. That's why I tell all my friends that are on soaps now, and they tell me that. I'm like, oh, get over it. People have been saying and threatening that for years.
Yeah.
Just enjoy your job.
Yeah.
Enjoy watching them.
Maybe it'll be like AM radio. They've been trying to kill AM radio for 50 years now, and it won't die either.
Exactly. It won't die. Yes.
This
yeah, let's
is so
think positive,
true.
Brandon. Let's think positive, all right?
Well, Erin, before I let you go, can I ask you to do a small promo for the show? Like,
sure.
Hi, this is Erin Torpy on Stardust Radio, something like that.
So just say what would you want me to say?
Just say, like, hi, this is Erin Torpy on Stardust Radio. You know, something to that effect. We're already recording, so whenever you're ready, we're good.
Okay. Hi, this is Erin Torpy on Stardust Radio.
Perfect. Oh, you know, there was one more question I wanted to ask you. Do you still keep in contact with David Fumero?
Yes, you know, not often, but I wrote to him. We write to each other once in a while, and I saw him when I was back. He came to the set to see me, which was very nice.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
I have to say and tell you this little story. He was on my show, and he became, like, my biggest supporter. It was just so funny how it happened. He was on the show, and I was expressing my opinions about how difficult it was to get people on the show, certain people. Like, I was looking to try and get the veterans on. People are looking for Bob Woods and Jerry Vidorn and, you know, Erica and this one and that one. But, you know, they don't really have too many sites for information on them. And going through the publicist was proving to be rather difficult. So I went to New York for a week, and I went down the city. And, well, I mean, I'm in Buffalo, but I went down into Manhattan for like a week, and I pounded the pavement in ABC territory, giving out cards and talking to people and, you know, just like doing my own thing, promoting the show.
Good for
and
you.
David came and he saw me. I'd never met him, so he saw that I had a Stardust T-shirt on, and he was like, oh, my gosh. So he sat outside with me for a good 2 hours and BS'd with me. And he went upstairs, and he got Lori Hogan and brought her downstairs and introduced me to her. And he was like, you really need to start putting people on her show.
Oh, that
like,
is so awesome.
He was so cute, and he came on the show when he was doing his the promotion for his movie. So it was really
great,
cool.
He's a wonderful, wonderful man. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he
so
is. Well, I want to say thank you to you for coming on Stardust, and you have an open invitation. I'm going to sign up. Well, you have my email, so let me know what's going on, and I would love to have you back. Is there any plans for a new CD, or
yeah,
part of the plan is?
No, there definitely is, and we're going to be doing more performing coming up, but yeah, my boyfriend and I are definitely working on, we have all new songs that we've written, so a new CD is definitely going to be in the next year. So we'll just be in touch for sure, Joanne. That would be awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
Like that, just let me know, email me, you know?
Oh, Erin, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. And everybody, don't forget, Brittany Underwood from One Life to Live, who plays Langston, will be on the show tomorrow night, so don't forget to tune in for that. Say thank you to Erin, and go to www.erintorpymusic.com and buy her CD, or go to iTunes and download. Go to Blog Talk's homepage and download. There's a million places to go, so go get it, damn it.
Yay!
It's my final word.
You're the best. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening and caring.
All right, Erin, thank you so much.
Okay, have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
Brandon, thank you so much for calling in. I'm so sorry you fell asleep, though.
Yes,
you big
me too.
Dummy.
I am so sorry. I feel so awful.
He fell asleep?
He fell asleep. He was supposed to be on with me exactly at 10 o'clock, and he fell asleep.
Oh, Brandon, we'll do it again, okay?
Yeah, okay. It was a long day at work, and I went to a nap accidentally.
That's all right.
That's all right. There'll be more time, so.
All right, Erin. Thanks
right,
a lot, honey.
Thank you. Bye, Brandon. Bye, Joanne.
Bye. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Oh, Brandon, you're silly. I swear you are. Okay.
I feel terrible. I am so sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. You got on. That's all that matters,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
That's all that matters is that you got on. She was such a sweetheart, and I'm glad we had her on the show, and I look forward to having her back. I mentioned earlier that Eileen Kristen is probably going to come back on. I spoke to her today, and I'll find out about that. And that's really sweet of Erin to say she would help out with getting some guests. She's friends
Absolutely.
With Rebecca Budig, and that would be very interesting. So,
she's one of the heavy hitters.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hoping that it'll definitely work out. And anyhow... right, Tony? It would be fantastic to have Rebecca on.
Oh, no question.
And Brandon, I missed who you said. Gina Tognoni? Is that what you
said?
Yeah,
Gina Tognoni. She was Gina Kelly.
Okay, yeah, no, I know, yeah, I remember
plays
who
Dying, she... Now plays Dying on Dying Light.
Yeah, right, I remember... I'm sorry, say that again?
Yeah, she was on Buzzworthy a few months ago, so she kind of knows about the Blog Talk Network, but...
Right.
But she may not know about the show specifically, so...
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I missed that particular interview with Tina.
I got to speak with her for a few minutes, and she was great. She's a very smart young woman.
Oh, okay, good. So that'll work out. I hope we do get together. I heard she's supposed to be leaving Guiding Light.
Well, there was a rumor a while back that General Hospital wanted her to play Brenda, a Brenda recast.
Oh, we go with the Brenda stuff again. Give me a break.
She ended up resigning with Guiding Light, so I haven't heard anything lately about any rumors.
Hmm.
So.
No, absolutely not. No, Jane still with Guiding Light as far as I know, and I think she's probably beyond for another year, or so, another 2 years. I used to get signed to a 2-year deal last year.
Right.
So I think they ain't up to her contract up probably until 2010. So I think she's still on for a couple more years.
Yeah,
right.
I remember a while back General Hospital really wanted her for Brenda, but it didn't work out.
Right, that was at the time she was negotiating to stay at Guiding Light at the time, and then this rumor that came out that she was going to play Brenda on General Hospital. But that's because GH wasn't trying to woo Vanessa Marcel back at the time too. But
right. But
eventually she turned him down, and now she's going to be doing a recurring role on Lipstick Jungle series on NBC.
Right, and you know what? I mean, not for nothing, any actress that would take a recast of Brenda would be crazy, because Bob Guza said it himself. The minute she says she wants in, she's in. So whoever that actress would be gone. Yeah. So I think that's, because Rebecca Budig was offered that part also.
Absolutely.
Gina could have made it work, though. I would have watched it. I think she's fabulous.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely would have also, but I think that it would do that actress a disservice to even take the role.
Yeah.
Because Vanessa would always be welcome back. She would be, anybody that was in the place would get kicked out the minute she said she wanted it back.
And that could very well be why she ended up sticking with Guiding Light after all.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's just one of those things, you know.
And eventually she may go by Clayne Kelly on Light Slip. Who knows?
Well, I heard that she said this would be an interesting question, and I don't remember if I actually heard it from Buzzworthy or not now. I have to think about it. But I heard that she said that if Ron Carlovati wrote her back in, she'd go over there in a heartbeat.
Wow.
I think that's true too. Yeah, I think she definitely would go back in a heartbeat if they got the right story for her. Yeah, and if you want to get it back with the right story, then she can get back on the canvas. Oh yeah, she doing the New York Minute. She will be back.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know, guys. Well, thank you both for joining me tonight. I'm off. Brittany Underwood tomorrow.
Yeah, Mom, we'll be here with you, Dylan, at the top of the hour.
And Robin Sydney will be with me on Wednesday, so that'll be really cool. And we'll see what else the calendar will hold, depending on emails. I'll speak to Eileen Kristen in the morning, and we'll see. Maybe we'll round her off with the end of the week if she's available.
That'll be great to have her back.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, thank you all for listening, and thanks for joining us at Stardish.
Take care, everyone. Have a good night.
Good night, Brandon.
Good night, guys.
Bye-bye.